This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. And right now we bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
Now, yesterday, I don't know if
we're
you
doing
recall,
good, Mickey, to answer your question.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's my apologies.
His kid's here. He's a little distracted.
He just couldn't get to me soon enough, right?
He was excited. Yeah.
That is fair enough. Well, I was, like, kind of dreading it, but sort of happy for you. Did you predict the Giants 23-20 yesterday?
I did.
Okay. When it was 20-15, I was like, I'm going to be sad if we lose this game, but I'm also going to be like bizarrely happy if Mickey gets the score exactly right.
I was right on that, right? Till the Cowboys unpredictably got that last stop.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
You really were. Now, we got, I don't know if it's a positive update because we're still like waiting for more medical information.
Yeah.
But it seems like not the worst case scenario for Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. But what makes me nervous there is even if it was just to get an IV, Trayvon Diggs left the game. Deron Bland is still out. Kalen Carson missed the game. Like, it feels like there's only so many positions where you can lose people until you're like, well, I got to throw something out there, I guess.
And that's why. And you mentioned the two defensive ends. We'll throw Sam Williams in there, too. So
fair.
They were without their top three prospective defensive ends to start the season. They're without, three of their top four cornerbacks to start the season. And they won. So I know it wasn't very stylistic 20-15, but thinking about all that and what took place the previous 2 weeks and last week, that was a hell of a win. And don't diminish it by saying, well, that was the Giants, because no one last week was saying, well, that's just the Giants.
Oh,
the
man,
Cowboys were what, 5.5-point favorites? They won by five.
Correct. Which made that field goal so good.
I bet some people had some choice words, right? The guy that's perfect wasn't perfect and cost them money.
Oh, my gosh. Mickey, you'd be amazed at, like, I know.
How much did Aubrey have on this game?
Yeah, I know social media can get weird. I saw so many people talking about how the NFL was rigged last night because he missed that field goal to cover the point spread. It was very bizarre.
Was it rigged that they called the Cowboys for, what, 15 penalties or whatever the heck it was?
And that didn't even count the one they should have called on them that they were like, you know what, that was on the Giants. Don't worry about it, face mask.
Well, and here's the one that kind of got to me. They called the defensive end offsides, right?
Yeah.
He had a two-step start on Tyler Guyton. And then he's the one that gets held. Well, he got held for a reason. He was cheating. So why do you penalize the other guy for what the other guy initiated, right?
Sure.
I didn't understand that. I understand you got to call it because it's a free play, right? But the reasoning behind it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Micah also gets hurt because he gets rolled up on because he was being held. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
For sure, not calling that one.
That should have been a personal foul, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man.
But anyway, just the fact that they won the game, a division game, and on the road. I know you want more of the offense. They want more out of the offense. But from a defensive standpoint, that was quite a turnaround. You know what they averaged running the ball?
The Giants, I do.
1.1 yards a carry.
Yes, that's the sixth lowest in Cowboys franchise history for the defense,
I can't
buddy.
Imagine there was been lower. And I think I saw the lowest was like 0.58 or something like that.
Wow.
I didn't know that. How did you feel about the corners opposite of Diggs last night?
Well, I didn't like the fact that when they started off the game that they put Booth on Neighbors. I was like, well, this is a disaster waiting to happen, and it did. So, Owarie,
yeah.
Did it. I think that they saw what happened in the first half. The guy couldn't stand up. He kept falling. And they pulled him and brought in a guy off the practice squad that hadn't played a snap all year and did a decent job. And, you know, he's a fifth-year veteran, and he's played well previously other places. So I guarantee you that's probably the way they'll go next week, because I can't imagine Bland's going to be ready to go.
Have you ever said to put a guy who's essentially playing his rookie season to just go ahead and put a gold jacket on him like I am with Overshown right now?
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Kevin, I think that's all Kevin was watching last night, because he's
well, you know what? And Leofau wasn't all that bad himself. And to me, that was two rookie linebackers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what, I don't know if it's a lesson, and we'll find out over the next 2 weeks, but sometimes young guys can improve as they, you know, get more snaps and get more experience. I thought Mozzie did a heck of a job, right?
I would agree with that. I thought yesterday
I saw him jump out a couple times.
Was easily his best game. Now, I'm not
absolutely
saying, like, statistically or anything. I'm just saying, watching the game, that was his best game.
You realize now it's back-to-back games with three tackles in each game.
I'll take it, because I like this game better than last week's game from him, for sure.
Absolutely, and he held down, you know, held down the line of scrimmage, and that allowed those linebackers to make the plays they, you know, they ended up making. What did Kendricks end up with? 11 tackles in the game. Overshown had 9. So that means that they were keeping those guys clean to be able to stop the run. And, you know, the majority of times when Daniel Jones was throwing, he was running. You know, he had to get out of the pocket because of the pressure up the middle. So, yeah, not a bad job. And then offensively, we barely heard Dexter Lawrence's name, didn't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I did think that was impressive.
With BB right in there in his face, too.
And, you know, and I'm sure they double-teamed him some, and they should have, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't let that kid out there with this 6'4", 340 guy right on his nose. But they kind of held him at bay. And, you know, for whatever Guyton did or didn't do, the kid keeps battling. He doesn't, you know, just, you know, tuck tail and, you know, go hide somewhere. And a couple of those, I know they're holds, but he's, you know what he's got to learn? He's got to learn what Tyler Smith finally learned, that when you block the guy and stun him, okay, that's it. You don't have to bury him in the ground, because once the guy turns his back and you push him to the ground and fall on top and pancake him, they're going to call you for holding.
That is exactly the same thing I used to think about Tyron Smith. Whenever we get holding calls, it's because it felt like he physically overwhelmed someone to the ground. And I'm like, is that really holding? But you're right. They call that every time.
And
so
he
think
got
you're
called
on to
for
something.
It twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was on top of the guy. Well, that's not his fault. You know, stand up. Be a man. So
also, stop throwing your hands up in the air, too, because that's a pretty clear signal that you did it.
So, so anyway, you know, they didn't score the points you wanted offensively. I thought Dak played awfully well. CD got back in rhythm. Hunter Lipke continues to shine. He accounted for 3 first downs, either running or catching a pass, and with his effort on third and whatever, getting the first down. So I thought that was good. And, you know, for the most part, they did a good job of keeping Dak clean in the pocket, which was an improvement, and that was supposed to be the Giants' calling card, their ability to put pressure on quarterbacks. Everybody made such a big deal of the 8 sacks against the Browns. Well, the Cowboys had 6, so that one might be the Browns. But I just don't think after the build-up to this game for, you know, everybody to go, well, that was the Giants. Well, okay, but everybody was worried about them, and especially on the road in the division game.
Do you think what makes Brandon Aubrey great is the fact that he's probably crushing himself today for the field goal he missed as opposed to making another 60-yard field goal.
Yeah, and I'm sure it bothers him because he seems to be a perfectionist. And he didn't miss it by much. He kind of hit it straight, and it stayed straight, unfortunately for him. But I thought Dak made a good comment after the game. He said, you know, we got to score touchdowns. We can't keep putting all the pressure on him to be perfect because none of us are perfect. And I thought that was a good comment because, they scored two touchdowns. But you got to score. You can't keep kicking field goals.
And the thing about that is, Mick, I don't know if you feel this way at all. It's not just the field goals. It's the distance of the field goals. And I don't mean because it's hard for Brandon Aubrey to kick. I mean because you're so far away from the end zone. Like, you're
well,
kicking
then you get in the 20, and then you get a couple penalties, and you're back at the 50.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened?
And so that's what I get. That's what I'm concerned about is we're not really firing off, like, 30, 35-yard field goals. Most of these are, like, pretty lengthy.
Well, they almost had that 70-yarder set up, didn't they?
Man, I was here for it.
I really was. Because what happened? Dak got sacked, right? And it was unreasonable. But look, that was I don't know if anybody mentioned it in pregame show, but that was tough conditions to kick in because when they were warming up, I mean, I looked at my phone, the humidity was in the 90%. And it ended up 88 at kickoff. So the air was pretty darn thick. And it didn't look like the ball was carrying. And it also, I was watching the warm-ups, the ball was pretty slippery just from the humidity and the sweat, right? So I thought it was amazing that I only saw one guy go in for, you know, an IV for being dehydrated, Diggs, right? I figured you better line them up because they're coming. It was tough conditions to kick in. Now, for a change, there wasn't a lot of wind in that stadium, but the humidity was really, really thick.
Appreciate it very much, good sir. We will catch up with you again on Monday.
Yep, we'll start a new week. See ya.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Now, I know it didn't get as much attention yesterday because of the Cowboys game, but if we want to go and throw it to cut number 16, it was the final game, home game ever for the Oakland A's, and here's how it wrapped up against the Rangers.
1-2 the count, 3-2 Oakland the score. Miller ready to go. Into the windup, and the 1-2 to Jankowski. Swung on and a ground ball hit to third. Gloved by Schumann. Throws to first. He got him and the ball game's over. As is the baseball history at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. 3-2. The A's win the final game here.
The parking lot opened. We're supposed to open at 8 a.m. 4.5 hours before the game. Local time for them. There was so much demand, they went ahead and opened the parking lot at 7 o'clock. Mm. There were lines going down the highway because you could see people were trying to get into the ballpark. It was, like, nice but also sad about what Oakland A's fans could be if they didn't think their ownership sucked and all these other things.
Yeah, I think Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton this morning were listing off all of, like, the rankings of their salary and how they're, like, always 32.
Yeah.
You're always at the bottom. They're always just, you know, one of those that just doesn't spend. And that was – I felt this way for a long time as a Rangers fan. We're just a farm system for the Yankees was
sure.
what I felt.
Yeah.
And I bet the A's felt that way for a long time, too. We're just a farm team. At some point, we're going to – we saw it in Moneyball. At some point, we're going to have a great player, and he's going to go.
Yeah.
It is sad, but that ownership was terrible. And they're going to be terrible everywhere else, too.
I think you're probably right about that. Dave Stewart might have had the saddest quote. He was like, it's
former Ranger.
Yes. He goes, it's a tough morning. I can't imagine how we're in this position. So, like, even while it's happening, like, we're here. This is the last home game. He's like, I still can't believe how we made it to this spot. And it's really sad. And he said, there's no better city than Oakland to play baseball in. And now, no more.
I did hear Mike yesterday said that Kamar Rocker gave up 7 runs on 3 hits. So Mike got that a little bit wrong, Kevin, because I'm not sure that, I mean, I guess you could walk a bunch and
could
have airs and stuff, but Mike got that one wrong. So we're working on Mike. You know, he's still got to grow up a little bit.
Do you think we'll bring him back on Monday so he can get some more training and stuff?
That's up to the Tolos. We'll give the Tolos the decision. You want Mike back on Monday, yes or no? If you text in yes, we'll count it as no, and we'll see how things go.
Huh. I feel like he's going to lose. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite, Major League Baseball, the Japanese judicial system, and I hate to say this, maybe Brandon Aubrey. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
They are trying to hard count. Here's the snap. Fourth and five. Jones flushed out, rolling to his left, looking, rolling, running, throwing on the run to the sideline. The Giants think he caught it.
Wow.
Did he catch it? No, now another one comes in and says incomplete.
Throwing on the field is an incomplete pass. Dallas will take over first and 10.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. 877-881-1053 is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line if you want to get involved, or on the Twitch or on the YouTube as we're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. And it's time for Forgiveness Friday. 877-881-1053. Do you need to ask for forgiveness? Does somebody need to ask you for forgiveness? Or are you the Japanese legal system?
Can I start, Kevin?
Are you the Japanese legal system?
I am not the Japanese legal system. But I think
I just wanted to check.
I think my wife needs to ask me for forgiveness.
Oh, why did she do? What did she do?
We'll see if Jess agrees. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, she told me that she had an event for work after the show, or after in the evening time. And that meant that I had to get the kids from school, I had to take Lucy to therapy, get dinner all squared away, and she said, I'll be back by 7 so you can watch the game. And I said, all right. She got home later, much later than 7 o'clock, and I had to get Lucy in bed during the game last night, and that was kind of a chore because she'd been a little bit of a pill lately. So that was a lot more things that I had on my plate last night.
Did you
have
to look at her and say, bless your heart?
To Lucy? Or,
yeah.
No.
That's Southern for, hey.
Yeah, hey, shut the...
Yep.
Yeah.
It can be interpreted a lot of ways, yeah.
So... what do you think the wife owes me now? Like, what should I leverage over her for the... Because that's what marriage is all about, is leverage, right?
She should go to the card shop and buy you some cards.
Oh, that sounds like a good one.
Oh, wait, that might be
no,
my... I don't know.
Okay,
that might be
that.
My
is
answer.
That a suggestion? Is that what you're saying?
See,
here? I like this.
And you know what? My wife expressed some skepticism when you said marriage is all about leverage. But here, I'll tell you this. Here's the simple facts. I have been married for 4-plus years. How many years have you been married?
We just celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary.
So... I feel like advantage Corey in knowing what marriage is all about.
Leverage.
My wife is stupid.
Easy.
Oh,
I thought we deleted that and buried it. That's supposed to be in a hard drive somewhere in the ocean.
I think she owes you 4 hours of Corey time.
Okay.
Where you get to shut out the rest of the family however you see fit.
I like that. I do like that. I will say this morning, she definitely got all the kids off to school for me. So
okay.
I was pretty happy with that, but... I'll say she needs to ask me for forgiveness today, and I think she did.
See, and here's where I struggle from the 817. Ask her for a Lamborghini. The problem that I have
with this... I can't afford a Lamborghini.
I know. Like, but even let's say you could. This is where I run into an issue sometimes, is I'm like, where does that money come from? Did that money magically appear from elsewhere? Then sure. Buy me a Lamborghini. Lamborghini. Did it come from our savings account or our checking account then? No.
Yeah, if you sold something and earned that money, then sure. But could we have paid the house off with that money?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm glad this came up. I've had this question for a really long time. From the 940, my mailman needs to ask for forgiveness.
Oh, no.
That MF-er called the city on my car being in front of the house. Now,
is it in front of the mailbox?
It's probably because it's in front of the mailbox.
Yeah.
I always go out of my way to not park in front of the mailbox, but I'll tell you who doesn't. Any of Brandon's Nimrod friends that come over, they're like, I'm going to park the most in front of the mailbox that is conceivably possible. So how do you feel about folks who park out in front avoiding the mailbox? Are you trying to make life easier for the mail people, or are you like, I don't care? I do care.
I definitely always thought about that. And we had a car that had broken down, and we left it just out of the way so the mail carrier could pull up and be able to access it. But my son, now that he's driving, he pulls right in front of the mailbox, and I'm like, dude, that's just wrong. He's like, I'm just going to get the mail whenever I get out. And I'm like, what if there's no mail? And he's like, then there's no mail that day. And I'm like, that's not how it works,
not
buddy.
How the mail works.
That is not how it works.
Man, wouldn't that be magical, though, if whatever specific time you check the mail, that was the only time the mail would or would not be there. And you're like, well, it wasn't there. I guess it's not coming today. And the mailman gets this like, do-do-do-do-do-do, and he knows, all right, I'll deliver both mails tomorrow.
Yeah, that would
that's
be amazing.
That's not how that works
We definitely need to install chips in mail people is what you're saying.
I don't. That could be tough for the union. I don't know. For the 469, I don't know if this really happened. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a little funny. I probably shouldn't. I need forgiveness. I farted on my niece's face, and now she has pink eye.
Oh, right. No. Hold on. That means that you did it with your pants down.
No, it does.
It doesn't,
that
doesn't get through clothes,
then
right?
That's definitely not okay. I'm not really sure. But yeah, no, that part is, we have a different set of issues.
I don't know how, does that get through your underwear and your shorts?
I'm not sure. It's a tough question that you ask at a food establishment. But it is bold of you.
They should know, actually, because of handling food. They got to take a class to make sure that they know how to handle food properly.
Okay. You think one of the subsections is the hows and whys of pink eye?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, probably not. From the 817, it's me. I am the Japanese legal system. All right, That is from Adam in Arlington. I actually hope you'll text back several times and give me a lot more information. But the Japanese legal system is frustrating. Well, probably more to this one specific fella as opposed to me. So Iwo Hakamada is just now getting the outcome of his retrial. I know you might be like, oh, okay. Well, what is it that he's accused of doing and whatnot? He was accused of robbing and killing his boss in 1968.
That was way long ago.
So yeah. Here is what happened. He stayed in jail for 46 years, and then they let him out in 2014, and they said, hey, we're gonna have a retrial. But he got let out anyway. The verdict just came in from like 10 years ago. This dude is now, I think he's 88.
Mm-hmm.
What's he supposed to do?
The verdict came in guilty after this?
No, he's innocent.
Innocent?
So
okay.
I mean, if he was guilty, then I'd be like, oh, well, then you probably should have been in jail. But like, so he was in jail for 40 plus years for a crime that they have now determined, my bad. You didn't do that.
That is brutal.
It is.
That's terrible because it's not like this dude just goes out and gets a job and enjoys the rest of his life. It's almost as if this guy walks out of a prison and
exactly.
into a home. You know, you said he was 88 at
yes.
this point? Yeah, man, that's ridiculous. And that's why, I mean, you really got to hate whenever the legal system doesn't get it right like that.
Well, so he initially denied it, but then he admitted to it after a police interrogation that included beating him. And so then he was kind of like,
fair.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it. Just please stop hitting me.
Yeah, that's why you need to have a good lawyer on your side, Kevin. Immediately.
Normally I would say the Frankels. I don't know. This doesn't feel like their specialty, but look, if you get injured in a car truck wreck.
Or if you're like accused of killing your boss, you know, like that's another one too.
The Frankels would be able to direct you to somebody.
But you always say this, Kevin. If this happens and you didn't do it, look, if you killed your boss, don't call him, is what you're saying, right?
True.
Go ahead and turn yourself in and then bury the body somewhere and then lead them on like some scavenger hunt to get it.
I don't know about all of that. Maybe that would buy you time.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm nervous that you have given me a plan just in case you're ever accused of a crime that I'm supposed to execute. So I'm nervous about
that. Don't tell all the secrets.
Okay, never mind. That didn't happen.
But you know where the weapon is.
I know.
Is. I already told
you. I know.
You.
The Texas Rangers. Do they deserve forgiveness? Because, look, we're getting down to the end of the season. There's only 3 regular season games left. The Texas Rangers are currently in line to have the fourth largest deficit between projected wins by Vegas and actual wins.
Okay.
They were predicted to win 88.5 games because you know how Vegas likes to roll, don't want to have a push, so over under. Right now they have 75 wins. They're 13.5 short, which has them only ahead of the Braves, Marlins, and of course the Chicago White Sox. So the Rangers have the fourth worst outcome based on projection in all of Major League Baseball this season. Do they need to ask for forgiveness?
I think Vegas needs to ask for forgiveness for really screwing that one up. You know, they didn't know what they were talking about on this one. They should have seen that the Rangers wouldn't be able to hit this year and that Seager would be hurt most of the season.
Okay.
And that DeGrom, they knew DeGrom was out and that Max Scherzer was old. I'm blaming Vegas on this one, Kevin.
Do I need to ask for forgiveness as well? Because I did not anticipate a lot of those
None
things
of us
that you
did.
Said either.
None of us did. But Vegas, we hold to a higher standard.
Okay.
All right? We've always said they know what they're talking about. When we start talking betting, don't we just acquiesce to Vegas most of the time? So, yeah.
I mean, that's
Did I use
fair.
That word wrong?
No.
In your faces, people.
Can I read you a serious one, or do you think I should just address it off the air?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. From the 817, we're going to get serious.
I haven't read it, by the way, so I don't know.
I need to ask for forgiveness for just being on the planet. If not for my children, I would be gone already, just struggling with it all. Is it worth it? Yes. And I think the fact that you're asking if it's even worth it means it is worth it.
Yes.
Because if you're asking the question, that at least you have some indecision about it. And so I'm going to pass my number along to that person. Or I always tell people, NamiNorthTexas.org. Like, I'm glad to talk to people, and I know you are too. I know you just did some things this morning. I don't know if you want to talk about that later or not. But Nami North Texas are professional people, and I want you to get better help than me just chatting with you. And so NamiNorthTexas.org is an amazing organization. The fact that you're still here for your children, the fact that you would text in, I think means yes, 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 it is definitely worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. You said everything right there, man. And I will lay that line out too. You know, as I've said, my kids have been dealing with friends that have gone through these questions to themselves. And I always tell my kids the same thing. You can be their friend, but you can't be their counselor. So make sure they try to get that help. Make sure you give them that opportunity, because that's where you're going to get the help that you really need. And it's going to, man, quite honestly, there's a sense of relief when you have that conversation. It helps you realize that you're actually doing something right. So do that.
And this last one I'm just going to throw out there for the gamblers.
Oh, yeah.
Because they...
You degenerates out there.
I love the way Al Michaels does this, and Herb Street was like, I see what you're saying. That last field goal, it's 20-15. So the point spread last night settled in at about 6. Cowboys by 6. Now, if you listen to RJ at the beginning of the week, you could have got the Cowboys -4.5. You wouldn't have had to sweat that field goal. But the line kind of moved between 5 and 6.5 points. So if Brandon Aubrey makes the field goal, you think you're going to win unless the Giants score a touchdown and all that good stuff. But he missed the field goal. And so when he lines up, Al Michaels goes, I feel like this is probably a really important field goal for some people out there. Like,
he talks about gambling
a lot
on Thursday Night Football.
As I think he should.
Do you think he's a degenerate gambler, too, as well as what he does?
The same way RJ is.
Bets?
Yeah,
okay.
In a lovable way. Yeah, I do. And so some people this morning want Brandon Aubrey to ask for forgiveness, kind of in a playful way. And then other people are like, no, I had the Giants +6. So I love Brandon Aubrey, but maybe they're glad that he missed that field goal.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would really ask him for forgiveness. He had the longest streak of 50-yard field goals made to start a career in the history of football. Do you know?
Could have been longer.
I guess that's true. Just here's saying. What I'll throw out. In the first 70 years of the NFL, there were 2 60-plus yard field goals. Brandon Aubrey has 2 60-plus yard field goals in the last 5 days.
Nice.
That's pretty damn.
He's probably going to add another one in the future.
I'm still
holding out for 70, though.
Agreed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite off of Pavilion Court. If you want to come on down. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. The top front offices in the NFL. And yes, the Cowboys did get a first place vote. Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
At the Dallas 16-and-a-half, snap to Jones. Looking, no pressure. Now they put a hand on him. Now he gets away. Now there's a flag. Now he's sacked. Lawrence and Overshown involved in the sack.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. If you want to come and see us, Corey's been doing giveaways during the break. Plus, you can enter to win a pair of Dallas Cowboys home tickets. That giveaway will take place tonight. All you got to do is get up here, drop it off, and you will be notified if you win later in the day. But you got to be here to make that happen. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go.
Remember, Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. By the way, it is also a shout-out Friday from the 469. Shout-out to myself, my manager, my girlfriend, and my family. My girlfriend and my family have supported me as I've had really bad mental health struggles for a long time. In March, I started a new job. My manager was patient with me, gave me a lot of grace as I adjusted and excelled here. 6 months later, just accepted a promotion, getting my first step into management for a company. That is outstanding.
From the 817, can I get a shout out to my amazingly awesome daughter, Halen, for her 18th birthday? Mom and Dad love you.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
You know what that means now that she's 18? Go get a job.
Ooh, don't you think some people probably think like 16, go
get
16, a job?
Like, yeah, 16 is a good time, but if you're not, if you haven't yet, go get a job.
Okay. Man.
Get out there and do something.
Spoken like a true parent. Now, Malik Nabers says he thinks he's going to be all good, but he was diagnosed with a concussion last night. And when you watch it back, like, I didn't notice it on first view, but when you watch that attempted sideline catch, what he couldn't hold on to, makes sense because he smashed his head directly into the turf while trying to secure the catch and get both feet in bounds. It was a hell of an effort.
Yeah, I don't think that's the kind of thing that the Guardian helmet helps. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not completely certain about that, but I was struggling to try and figure out exactly what it was that was ailing him because he looked sitting over there, eyes rolling around and everything. I was like, what is going on? It looked like he just landed on the ball. I thought he got the breath knocked out of him. But, man, that dude can ball.
He's awesome.
He can ball. He was a tough one last night for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He already looks like an absolutely incredible player. Luckily for the Cowboys, they were able to shut the run game down.
Now,
let's go from that. I mean, that is true. Let's go from that to Atlanta. Atlanta is supposedly in line to host Super Bowl 62 in 2028. Yes, that's how old we're getting and how far down the line we're moving. And this feels like a pretty savage burn. Justin Jefferson was talking about playing Jaire Alexander this weekend. And he said, I don't really care about that matchup, honestly. I feel like he cares more about it than I do.
Oh, wow.
That always feels like such a devastating shot to me when he was like, yeah, that person cares more than I do. Good for them.
Who are you? Is always like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good one, too.
Who are you? Like, that is, man. Gosh, Justin Jefferson just, and he keeps embarrassing people, too, the way he does it.
He really does.
Oh, 97 yards? It's easy.
Yeah, big deal. All right, who are the top 10 front offices in the NFL, and why are the Cowboys number one?
They're not number one.
Oh, okay. So The Athletic polled 40 league insiders, 35 high-ranking executives, and 5 coaches to compile the NFL front office rankings. Before people get mad, and no, I don't know who cast this vote, the Dallas Cowboys did get one first-place vote.
Jerry.
It does feel
Will
like
McClay.
It feels like you probably shouldn't be able to answer.
It was
like
McCarthy.
That.
He's like, look, I don't answer this. That's my job.
But they did get one first place vote.
Chiefs are number one. I mean, they've won all the Super Bowls lately.
The Chiefs are not.
Oh no,
number one. They are second.
Okay.
The Baltimore
Steelers?
Ravens.
Oh,
are first. The Steelers are actually number 10.
10? Okay.
So it goes Baltimore, then Kansas City. And I told you Pittsburgh is at 10. You have a lot of room to fill in between there.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia's 4.
Whatever.
I mean, who do you think has the better front office, Philadelphia or Dallas?
Philadelphia will go get players.
Okay.
They will go get Eagles. As Kevin likes to say,
no.
The Cowboys don't go get Cowboys the way we want them to. So, I guess this is interesting because it sounds like ownership's getting frustrated with them a little bit. But San Francisco,
is third. So the top five goes Ravens, Chiefs, 49ers, Eagles, and Lions.
Carolina,
no,
Jacksonville.
They would definitely be close to last, if not last. The rest of the top 10: Green Bay, Seattle, the Rams, the Bills, and the Steelers. The Dallas Cowboys finished in 13th place on the strength of that one first-place vote they got, with the Texans and Browns sitting at 11 and 12, respectively.
Mm.
All right, let's go from that.
The Browns?
Yeah, look.
That's weird. But Browns just seem like they're constantly chaos.
But don't you feel like people will probably look at that Cowboys vote and be like,
yes,
the Cowboys?
Yeah, you're probably right. The Browns ownership voted for themselves. That makes sense.
Josh Allen has thrown more touchdowns in one half than Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, and many, many other quarterbacks have the entire season. So this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Just at this moment in time, like, I'm sure as the season plays out, it'll change plenty of times, but feels like Josh Allen is playing the best football in the NFL.
I think Josh Allen, like, in one game, or maybe you said one half.
Yes, one half.
Has thrown more touchdowns than Daniel Jones at home in the last 635 days. Zero is the number, Kevin, that I saw.
Oh, that's, he's thrown way more than that, then.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is struggling at home.
Man, or the number of offensive touchdowns we scored in the third quarter.
Easy.
Zero.
Easy.
Okay. Sorry.
They have to work on that.
Or the number of games in which the Cowboys have scored offensive touchdown in the second half. One. Did you know that? One game.
Browns?
No.
Oh, no. The Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens.
It was,
yeah,
the Ravens onslaught. But you did not see an offensive touchdown yesterday. You have seen them in one game in the second half, and that was against the Ravens. Let's go from that to, I find this to be really fascinating. I kind of don't want to ask Jerry about it, but we had a whole bunch of other stuff to discuss. Three NFL stadiums are soon going to moonlight as emergency shelters during disasters. So this agreement was come to between the NFL and FEMA. So MetLife, which you just saw for the Giants and the Jets, Lumen Field, which is the rip-off Kyle Field in Seattle, and Acrisure Stadium for the Steelers and Raymond James Stadium for the Bucks are all now going to serve as emergency shelters during disasters. SoFi Stadium looks, it's under review right now, looks like it's going to be next up. I think that's pretty cool that, I mean, obviously that is a huge infrastructure that you could house a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You hope they don't need it, but they very well might.
You think, like, in Houston, Reliant would be a great place, because Joel Osteen's place definitely
is. No, because if you put Osteen in there, he's like, nope, no more room. And you're like, you didn't even open the doors.
Yeah, the doors are locked, buddy. And he's like, yeah, that's why. That's why there's no more room for you guys. That's interesting.
Did we ever get an explanation from him?
Nope.
About what was the story there?
No, and I appreciate that, and I hope that more of the owners are willing to do that in those situations. But that's interesting, those locations specifically right now, because I'm just not sure what is hitting those areas.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see why they've decided to have that conversation about it. Like, what brought that up?
Yeah,
that said that they need
question.
To, because you do feel like, was Mercedes-Benz or Little Caesars Dome,
yep,
down in New Orleans is constantly going to get something like that.
And then this stat comes from Katie Drummond. It's Katie Drummond NFL on Twitter. 25 pass rushes for Brian Burns last night, zero pressures. So there are various problems that the Cowboys need to fix, but that's a stat. that you love to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that Cooper Beebe gave up zero pressures for the first time in his first four games.
I thought he played significant. Him and Mozzie Smith both stand out to me as two people that played significantly better.
Yeah, let's see
yesterday.
It 2 weeks in a row now. Let's see it 3 weeks in a row. Let's keep that up, and then we can fix Guyton and some of these other problems.
Totally fair. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I decided I'm going to combo this one up before we get to
combo
the actual.
Platter.
That's in the next segment. Oh. Dallas Cowboys, thank you, or no thank you notes. Who or what needs to be recognized for whatever reason in the Cowboys' tight road win? We're going to talk about it next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite, if you want to come see us right here on 105.3 The Fan.